So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
As women, we're constantly bombarded by the media, Hollywood and fashion magazines, telling us how we should look and act. They try to convince us that outward physical beauty is something we should strive to attain. In today's special heart-to-heart study, Shannon Quintana takes us to God's Word to learn what God says is truly beautiful and lasting. Get your Bibles ready as we look at Proverbs 31:30 and learn the beauty of wisdom. For more information about the Heart-to-Heart Women's Ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's join Shannon.
Before I get started, I wanted to show you guys a video.
I woke up this morning feeling really refreshed.
I think I feel more confident.
It's not the patch. I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, I like it.
We invited women to be part of a research group testing a revolutionary product. RBX is a beauty patch developed to enhance the way women perceive their own beauty. My name is Ann Carney Cook, and I am a psychologist and a distinguished scholar at Columbia University. I've been conducting scientific research about women for the last 30 years.
I almost kind of avoid mirrors lately because I've been a little uncomfortable with things.
I definitely pick out a lot of bad things with myself, like right here on my nose.
If I was more confident, I would have the ability to like approach a guy, maybe.
I did have a lot of confidence. Having kids, I've lost a lot of that.
Everybody wants to be younger. Why can't being older be good?
I think you're gonna go through a journey that is gonna be amazing for you. So there's two components. One is a beauty patch, and another is a video diary you're gonna keep each day.
Like here?
Okay. Leave it on for 12 hours. It's not gonna hurt you or anything like that.
It is day one with the beauty patch.
It felt like just a normal day.
So far, not feeling more beautiful.
I don't really feel too much changes.
Well, let's see. Nah.
If I'm walking, I find myself rubbing the patch. You know, I just wonder if it's working.
One of my coworkers, she said that I looked really pretty and I thought that was really cool.
Everything that I set aside towards today was showing my arms. And my arms are one of the things that I usually try to cover the most.
I feel beautiful no matter if I'm sick, tired, or the fact there's a pimple on my nose.
I felt very comfortable in my skin today.
And sometimes I see somebody and I smile and I don't know why.
I went dress shopping. There's no way in the world 2 weeks ago I would have been able to do this.
What is your feeling like now coming back after 2 weeks?
Definitely been a life-altering experience.
I've been more social with the patch on.
More comfortable in clothes I didn't wear before. More comfortable doing my hair differently, showing off my face more. I've definitely opened up something inside of me to make me feel this great.
Would you buy the beauty patch?
I would. I honestly think I would.
I'd love for people to have the type of change that I've had by trying the beauty patch.
Do you have any interest in knowing what's inside the patch?
I do.
And if you can just turn that over. Can you see more?
Oh my gosh. There's nothing in the beauty patch?
Nothing.
It's just a patch.
Just a patch.
That's awesome.
I was really expecting there to be something to really see that. There's nothing in it. Just like, it's crazy.
I'm beautiful, I'm strong, and I'm independent, and I can just be whoever I want to.
Now knowing that I don't need something to make me feel that way, that's just who I am. Like, and it was kind of hidden, and now it's not anymore. It's very empowering.
I wanted it to be about me and not a patch.
Thank you.
pass the tissues. I told my sister, I was like, I don't know why I'm playing this video because I always cry whenever I watch it. Don't you just want to hang out with that last lady? You're like, yes, I love you. Did everybody know that there was nothing in the patch? Until before the end, you all knew there was nothing in it? You're all so wise. You don't even need this teaching today. Oh, man. You're all way ahead of me. That's why God puts us all together so we can learn from one another, right? Well, aren't we all looking for beauty, though? I mean, honestly, we knew there was nothing in the patch, but we all kind of are looking for that beauty. And did you notice the one girl who said to find out that there's nothing in it is, she almost looked disappointed, like, I thought this was my miracle, that I was going to get to, like, always feel great about myself and all of that. So to find that there was nothing in it, she looked a little disappointed. Like, I just kind of wanted to grab her and be like, it's okay. You don't need a patch. But let's pray. Because I just had a cup of coffee. I'm going to need some prayer. My mom's like, let's pray. God, we come before you, Lord, and I thank you that all we need is you. I thank you, Lord, that you have created each and every one of us in this room as a beautiful individual woman who has beautiful strengths and challenges or weaknesses, whatever we want to call them, Lord, areas to grow. And I thank you, Lord, that we are so intricately put together and so wonderfully and perfectly loved by you, Lord. And I pray that just the times that we're in right now just crush us when it comes to how we picture ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts today to how you see us, and that you would open up our hearts to what truly is beautiful and help us to see what that really is made of, Lord. And we thank you for this time, and I pray that you would speak through me, that your words would be heard and mine would just kind of fall away. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these days, it's all about beauty, isn't it? I mean, if you go to Target or you go to the grocery store, if you look in front at any magazines at all, wouldn't you say that the world is all about you got to be beautiful? Because women are looking younger and looking fitter and looking more perfect constantly, right? We inject our lips, we enlarge certain things and downsize other things. We can do Botox, we can whiten our teeth, we can do anything. We're gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, meat-free, everything-free. All in the name of beauty, aren't we? We want to be beautiful. Don't you want to be beautiful? I mean, be honest.
Yeah, sure.
Duh, we all want to be beautiful. We all want to be noticed. We want somebody to look at us and say, wow, that's a beautiful woman. I mean, if we're being honest, I know that we are very spiritual and I want people to see my heart. Yes, but first you want them to see your face and say, she's gorgeous. And then, you know, but anyway. All that to say that we want to be recognized for how beautiful we are or how amazing we are or how amazing we're trying to portray ourselves as. I started thinking about beauty, and I was, when my mom asked me to speak, I was like, okay, well, I have no parameters. Okay, this could be dangerous when I have no parameters. And I'm sure my mom was like, okay, Lord, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But I started thinking about beauty and how we see ourselves and how it's so challenging these days to accept the way that we are. And I grew up a very, very insecure girl. Very, very insecure. I still struggle with that a lot. And but it's amazing how the Lord can take us and change us and make us into women who are confident in who he's made us to be. We still struggle, yes. I still go, I can't lead worship. I can't even sing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have our things that people would look at you and say, she's amazing at this. I'm sure you're like, I can't cook a meal. I can't do this. I can't do that. Whatever you're doing that the Lord has called you to, that's what the enemy attacks, right? Yes? Okay. Just making sure we're all on the same page. Well, I started thinking about what I thought was beautiful, what I would look at and say, gosh, that's beautiful. So I want to show you the first person I thought of who I thought was beautiful. Let's see if it works. Isn't she beautiful? I mean, all things aside, she's beautiful, right? And can I tell you something? It was very hard. This is the most clothed she was. It was very hard for me to find a picture of her where she was this covered. This is Kate Beckinsale. And I'm going to tell you some fun facts about Kate Beckinsale, because I look at Kate Beckinsale on the cover of a magazine and I go, oh man, I wish I looked like her. She's so beautiful. She's 40 years old. What? Oh, stop. She's 40. Isn't that insane? She's 40 years old. She's 5'7", which is my height. So I guess we do kind of look alike. She's from England, and she currently resides mostly in London. She's been married for 10 years. She has one daughter, who's 15. And she studied French and Russian literature at Oxford. She's good friends with Victoria Beckham and Eva Longoria, and Brooke Shields, who is still around, who's also beautiful, by the way. She does not have a driver's license, probably because she lives in London and you just take public transportation everywhere. When she was younger, she loved to write and even won 2 writing contests. So she's an actress, and she's also modeled occasionally. And I would like to thank the internet for allowing me to stalk somebody that I've never met and find out all this information. So we all think she's beautiful, if we're honest. She's a pretty lady, right? She's a pretty lady. Now I'm going to show you the next person I think is beautiful. Anybody know who this is? Corrie Ten Boom. Here's some fun facts about Corrie Ten Boom. She's born in 1892 in the Netherlands in World War II, and some of you, most of you probably already know this. Her family harbored hundreds of Jews to save them from the Nazis, but a fellow Dutch citizen sold them out, and her whole family ended up in concentration camps. And all of them were imprisoned, and everyone in her family died except for her. And she was released, which is a whole other story in and of itself. It was a miracle, like an accident, that she was released. But after she got out, she began to minister to Jews who had been in concentration camps. And not only that, but to the Germans who had been on the side of the Nazis to help rehabilitate them as well. She, in 1946, she started a worldwide ministry that took her to 60 countries. She went all around the world. If you guys ever get a chance to research her, if you haven't, do it. Get her book, get it on tape, because it's amazing. My kids have listened to it, not tape, CD, or whatever, MP3. Or tape, if you do tape. She received many tributes, including being knighted by the Queen of the Netherlands. And she's an author of the best-selling book, what's it called? The Hiding Place, which my kids love. She never married. And at age 86, she suffered many strokes, which left her paralyzed and unable to speak. And she passed on her 91st birthday. And I read, and of course I'm telling my kids this because I'm researching them all. Did you know that Corrie Ten Boom died and my girls are all on her birthday? I'm like, oh, okay. I guess you knew it and I didn't. But according to Jewish tradition, it's a special blessing to pass on your birthday. So maybe I'll die on my birthday. It's a way to bring the whole mood down. I just like to keep you guys on an emotional roller coaster when I'm up here, okay? Don't get too happy, but don't get too sad because we're going to come back up. Now, here's my question. These are 2 women. Let's look at them side by side. They're both beautiful, in my opinion, but for different reasons. Now, no offense to either one of them, which one would you rather spend an hour with if you could? If Corrie Ten Boom was still alive, who would you rather spend an hour with? Corrie Ten Boom. Isn't that crazy? In a world where it's all about beauty, we would rather hang out with Corrie Ten Boom. But why do we see her as beautiful? If you asked me many years ago, I would have rather hung out with Kate Beckinsale. Because I would think maybe some of her gorgeousness will rub off on me and we could all be friends, me and her and Eva Longoria and Brooke Shields, we could hang out with her too. I don't say it to make Kate Beckinsale sound like a bad person. I'm sure she's lovely and wonderful and says everything in a British accent, which is more beautiful. I don't hate Kate, and I'm not saying that beautiful people are bad to hang out with, but as beautiful and talented as she is, I'd rather hang out with Corrie Ten Boom for an hour. The truth is, if I spent an hour with Kate, I would walk away feeling uglier and fatter and less successful and all of those things. But I heard this quote, and you know when you read a quote, you go, whoa. Like, it's one you have to read again and again and again. Because I think about people like her, and I think about that didn't used to be me, but as far as somebody who works really hard on themselves, up at 4:30 every morning to go to the gym, only eating certain, like, barely any meals, making sure my kids always looked perfect, making sure my house always looked perfect, all of these things to be perfect so that people would think that I was beautiful and perfect. Did anybody else ever try that for a while, worked on that whole keeping that facade up? Well, this quote said about a woman who had that same sort of thing. She worked really, really hard. She strived and strived and strived to keep up this really perfect picture. It said her beauty was impressive, but not inviting. And I look at Corrie Ten Boom, And I say, her beauty's not impressive, but she sure is inviting. I would think even another word instead of impressive, intimidating. If I got in a room full of people who look like that, I'd be like, shrink, 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 shrink. You know what I'm saying? So if I was able to hang out with Corey, though, I know that I would walk away feeling inspired and long to live my life for the Lord. It would be less about her and more about Jesus. And that is more beautiful to me, in my opinion. But I mean, look at Corey. She has wrinkles and she doesn't look like she was that caught up in physical fitness, which our whole world is, right? But I look at her life, and judging by the life she lived with great wisdom. And wisdom is what makes her so beautiful. So as I sat and thought about beauty and what true beauty is, and what I see in people as beautiful, and what makes me kind of gravitate to them, isn't necessarily their beauty, but it's their wisdom. Those people that you're like, I just want to sit and listen to you for like hours. Tell me everything you know, everything you know. Like I look at moms who have raised great kids and I'm like, could you just like somehow download all of your information into this brain that can't seem to get it all together? But it's almost like wisdom is her beauty patch. Remember the video we just watched? It's okay, I have a short-term memory too. But it's almost like it's her beauty patch. You're like, video, video, video. What was that video? When it comes down to it, I'd rather be wise than beautiful. Yes, I want to be pretty. Yes, I want to appear beautiful. But in the long run, I'd much rather be wise. I'd much rather be wise. Write this verse down. Proverbs 31:30. Beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. That's Proverbs 31:30. And after you turn there, and you can already go there now, go to Proverbs 2. Wouldn't you ladies rather be inviting instead of impressive? Wouldn't you rather people want to hang around with you for God's wisdom and not necessarily workout tips or whatever? Not that all that stuff is bad. Does everybody understand that I'm not putting down being beautiful and that I'm sure she's a wonderful person? And if she invited me to her birthday party, I would totally come. Completely stressed out, probably like, do I look all right? What do you think? Anyway, Proverbs 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And as we read them, I want you guys to be students of the word. So as we read through these verses, circle or underline any verbs. So do we all remember what a verb is? It's an action, okay? It's an action. So any of the action words, and I will emphasize them as I read them. So Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, we'll change that to daughter. My daughter, if you receive, that's one, my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So let's see, how many verbs did you guys circle? 12, wow. See, you're probably better at grammar. There probably are 12 in there. Oh yeah, understanding is a verb, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, okay, anyway. So, I only have 8. Good job, Sarah. You get the gold star. She found 12. Yay! All right, so receive my words, treasure my commands, incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry out for understanding, lift up your voice for understanding, seek wisdom as if it were silver, search for her as if she were treasure. In 2007, I lost the diamond out of my wedding ring. And I remember I was drying my hands and my ring got caught and I thought, oh, that's funny. And I looked and went, oh, okay, something's not here that's supposed to be here. And we searched and searched and searched. But of course, my diamond is not the size that Kate Beckinsale would have. And so you're not going to find it. It's so small. But we searched and searched on our hands and knees and we never found it. But we sought after it and sought after it. And On a different note, I chuckled as I wrote down these action words because I'm talking about beauty. And so it kind of made me laugh because I pictured myself receiving a sample at the beauty counter, you know, at Nordstrom or whatever. And I'm stoked because I can't really afford this lotion, but I have this free sample, you know, and I'm excited. And I'm going to treasure that. I'm going to say, okay, I'm only going to use this one time. So I want to make sure it counts. And then you incline your ear to all of the new beauty news, how you're going to look younger, what sort of creams you should apply. You apply the creams. Is anybody following me? I was just cracking up when I was reading these. We cry out because we don't look as beautiful as we want to. We lift up our voice for understanding. How can I make these wrinkles go away? Have I already let it go so long? Anyway, that's just my joke. I'm like, if I started applying creams now, then I would look this age forever. Or I could just not apply creams because I'm not good at applying creams. I forget. But beauty treatments are fleeting, right? All those things that we seek after to look younger, working out, special creams, all those things that we pay all this money for are fleeting. But wisdom is lasting. And there were some things that, three things that I noted about these verses in Proverbs chapter 2. When I was reading through them about wisdom and what it says about wisdom. So the first one is that wisdom is available. All throughout the scriptures, God says, come to me and listen to me and learn of me, and I will explain things to you. The word says, I'm not hiding things from you. I want you to learn these things that you need to know. So number one, wisdom is available. We have God's wisdom at our disposal. Have you ever gone through those times when you have no clue what you're supposed to do? None whatsoever. And two options. Let's say you have two options and both of them make sense, and you have zero clue as to what you're supposed to do. You have no plan. It's like 50-50. How do you make those decisions? By God's wisdom, right? You just go, okay, Lord, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do right now. Which one should I do? I had that same dilemma. My husband's going to Kenya on the mission trip. He's the missions pastor here. And I have a retreat that's smack dab in the middle of his trip. And he wanted me to go with him. And I was like, I could go with him, or I could do this retreat that I've already committed to. And so I totally had to pray for the Lord's wisdom on that. Do I cancel this retreat or do I go? So in this instance, I didn't cancel the retreat. I decided to go. I didn't cancel the retreat. I decided to go to the retreat. But there's another trip that I was able to go on that I had to move some things around to go to the trip. Do you see what I'm saying? Two completely things that completely made sense. Coffee throws words in there that don't fit. Two things that made total sense: to go with my husband or let my yes be yes and my no be no and stick to the commitments that I've already made. And so two different instances, and there were two different answers. So the Lord's wisdom is what gets us through those times when we don't really understand which one we're supposed to do. And verse 6 here says that the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Don't we get mixed up when we try and throw our own understanding in there and go, well, this makes sense, and oh yeah, I'm going to do this. And don't we always kind of get reminded that we really shouldn't be doing that on our own? Yeah. Number 2, wisdom takes work and time. Who here has gained wisdom from trials in your life? Yes. It's my belief that we grow by leaps and bounds through trials. The Lord still teaches us in those great times when we're gleaning from him, when we feel like we're on the mountaintop. But in those trials, when all you have to depend on is Jesus, we thrive in our walk with the Lord, don't we? I think it's interesting that trials age us. Do you ever feel that way when you're going through a trial? You're like, I feel like I've aged 2 years. You're looking at your eyes because you've just been crying and crying and crying, and you know you're not supposed to rub them because that makes the wrinkles worse, right? But you're like, oh, I look 5 years older. There was a time in my life when I was incredibly unwise. And I remember walking through the most difficult trial of my life and thinking, gosh, this is just aging me. And some of you may have heard bits and pieces of my story and talking about a tough time and the hardest time in my life. But today I'll share a little bit of it with you in a very small nutshell, like a, what's the smallest nut? A really small nutshell. A mustard seed nut. There you go, shell. Many years ago, again, to make a really long story very short, I chose to be unfaithful to my husband, and I was in another relationship. And that was the most unwise decision I've ever made in my life. Whew, I said it. You know what's funny is I've shared that in other places, but this is the first time that I've shared it here, and I probably should have warned you, Mom, sorry. Anyway, if you have any questions, you can talk to me later. It was a very short relationship, but it was sinful nonetheless, and it was a long time ago, so it wasn't like last week, okay? Everybody, we're all right in here. We're all still friends. Over time, after I had ended that relationship and decided that it was wrong and that I didn't want to be a part of that anymore, the Lord was knocking on my heart, knocking on my heart, and I decided I was just going to live my life right. Okay, I'm just going to do the right thing now. I'm just not going to do that anymore. Nobody ever has to know. I'm just going to live right now. I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and nobody ever has to know, and I'll just be good now. Do you think that works out? No. For fear that I would do it again, because nobody ever knew, and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I decided that I had to be honest and tell my husband, who was the first person I ever told. And I confessed to him, and it was one of the wisest choices I have ever made in my life, and it's the only decision at that point in my life, up till then, that I had ever made on my own. I am very indecisive, and I can't even choose a movie because I'm afraid somebody else isn't going to like it. Or a restaurant, you know, you don't want to be the one to choose it because you're like, well, what if they hate their meal? Then it's my fault that I chose the restaurant. That's how I am. But this was a decision I had to make all by myself, but not all by myself. It was me and God. And I kept saying it over and over again. Okay, Lord, if it's you and me, I'm good. It's you and me, it's you and me, it's you and me, it's you and me. Crying, crying, crying. Conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, your sin will find you out, so you may as well tell it instead of it finding you out. That was the wisest decision I ever made in my life, and the most painful decision. However, what followed that were many, many tears and many years of healing, but an abundance of healing. I think I aged 5 years in just 1 year. I mean, I literally remember looking at myself in the mirror like, oh my gosh, I'm getting so old, just all this crying. You know, you run out of tears and you feel like, ugh. You have no more tears to cry, like you've literally dried up. But my husband and I, first of all, my husband is a man of integrity and a man who follows Jesus no matter where he calls him to go or who he calls him to go there with. He is a man of God who has walked with integrity and honor. And I am amazed by him, and I'm amazed at where we are now. And we walked hand in hand. We walked through this fiery trial, not always hand in hand, but we walked together. And because God is an amazing saving God, we've come out the other side more beautiful than we started. And I know my family can attest to that. We had a horrible relationship. We did not like each other, and he would say that as well. We did not like each other. Here we were. Yep, we're Christians. We're going to stay married. This is what God has for us. But I now see, no, God has amazing beauty on the other side of the trial. So that is what is, I'm sorry. Let me pause. I didn't feel like I was getting wise through that trial. You walk through a trial, and you feel like you're just like, anybody feel that way? It's one step forward and how many steps back? Two or three sometimes, or 10. It's never like one step forward and we just keep trucking. It's one step forward and a few steps back and you're like, we're never gonna get through this. But through those times, the Lord gives you wisdom and you don't even realize that you're racking it up. Does that make sense? You, all you see is surviving. That's all you see is surviving. But you're really being given wisdom by the Lord. Wisdom to say, hey, I've done this really bad thing, and now I want to do the right thing, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Wisdom to stay when you want to leave. wisdom to shut your mouth when you have so much to say, and wisdom to carry on, not having a clue how you're going to get through it at all, but knowing that God is walking with you and he has told you that he has good for you. And that's the only promise you have to hold on to. You have good for me, you have good for me, you have good for me. And that's all I got today. Because all I could read today was one verse in the Bible, because I'm too weak and I'm angry at where I'm at and I'm frustrated and I don't even want to get out of bed today. But you have good for me. Has anybody been there? Where you're clinging like this to Jesus because you're like, there is nothing else in my life that is certain right now. It's not certain I'm going to stay married. It's not certain that my kids aren't going to have two Christmases and two Thanksgivings and two birthday parties. All of those things, having no clue, but knowing that God is with me and that he has good for me in the end. And I tell you what, ladies, the way I worship now is not the way I used to worship. That's not to say that I didn't know the Lord before, but my worship now is, Jesus, you're everything to me. I would not be where I am today without you. And I'm not talking about recording CDs and being on stage leading worship. I'm talking about in my life, being a wife who is loved by her husband. He tells me he loves me too much. He's like, I think I tell you I love you too much. Maybe I shouldn't say it so much. I mean, he's crazy about me. He is. And that's God, right? I mean, amen. That's healing. That's what God does. Brings a relationship back together that was dead in the water, literally dead, and works on those individuals and says, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to heal you, and then I'm going to bring you back together. That's what God does. And through that, he gives you wisdom. We have the privilege to talk to other couples now that are going through the same thing we are. Which is insane, because before we'd be like, I don't know. But because of the ugliness that came from that, we're able to see those people who are in that ugliness and say, it's gonna get prettier. It's gonna get better. And that's not our wisdom, right? My wisdom made me make really bad decisions. I made my own decisions. I'm not trying to blame wisdom for that, but made my own decisions. But the Lord is able to implant wisdom into you. Does that make sense? Are you guys following me? Oh, yeah. That when you're going through a trial, God is banking wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom that you don't even see. And if you did, you'd be like, I'm getting so wise. I'm fine going through this. Pile it on, God. No, you don't even see it happening. But do you know what I'm saying? You should not realize it. Because you're just walking through and all you're doing is holding on to God. You come out the other side and you realize you're making choices now based on God's wisdom. God gives me wisdom to not engage in a conversation with a man I'm not supposed to be engaging with because I know the repercussions. God gives me wisdom to keep my eyes forward when I'm at the gym and not look to the left or to the right, or just look down. Don't make eye contact. That's my advice to you. If you go to the gym, just don't make eye contact. Because they're all like this, waiting to make eye contact. Anyway, that's just a side note. All right, so wisdom is available. Wisdom takes work and time. After listening to that, did any of you ladies go, oh, I guess that's right. God has given me some wisdom through that trial. Raise your hands if you felt that, like if you related to that at all. The Lord brought me through something and I see the wisdom that he's given me through that. And the way that he repairs us is in such a way that we can't go, well, look how much wiser I am now. We can only say, well, Lord, there's no way I would be this person without you. There's no way I would be standing now without you because he's your life and he's your sustenance. And that's how it always should be. I remember I told Jesse recently, we were in a little bit of a tiff, which obviously still happens. But, you know, through that time, there was no real expectation in our relationship. My only expectation was Jesus. So when he really didn't like me, I was good because it was me and Jesus. I had no expectation. Does that make sense? And him the same. And then when the Lord healed us and brought us back together, now there's expectation. There's expectation in a marriage. There's expectation that he's going to nurture you and love you and all of those things. And I remember telling him, man, it was just easier when you hated me because it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt as much because my heart was wrapped up in Jesus. And as soon as you hand your heart to somebody and say, okay, try not to break it, then you're opening yourself up, right? And I don't remember that C.S. Lewis quote because this was not in my notes at all, but that one that says, if you want to not be hurt, then don't love at all. Don't open your heart to anybody because it's probably going to get broken. But wisdom tells us that when we have that relationship and our heart is wrapped up in Jesus, even if your relationship isn't on the rocks, even if there hasn't been infidelity, but if you are both, even if your husband isn't saved, rather, what if your husband isn't saved and you're the one who's saved? Can you still have your heart wrapped up in Jesus in such a way that if he says those things to you, it doesn't crush you? And you can show God's wisdom to him. That verse that says you can win him without words, right? So just carry on. So wisdom is available. Wisdom takes work and time. The third one is that wisdom brings beauty. So this whole thing, I said I was talking about true beauty. And then I went on and on about wisdom. But I think it's because wisdom brings beauty. The same reason that I would rather hang out with Corrie ten Boom is because she lived a life of wisdom. Kate Beckinsale might be a very wise woman, but I don't know about her walk with Jesus. I don't know if she walks with Jesus. I don't know anything about her. Corrie ten Boom, that's all I know about her. I know what Kate Beckinsale, I could find out what her favorite meal is probably, or like her favorite place to go, or whatever it is. But Corrie ten Boom, pretty much all I'm going to find out about her is the way that her family sacrificed and how she loved and honored God, even amidst the trials when her sister died. I remember her saying, my girls have listened to the CDs a couple of times, and there's one part where this man is saying, I met Corrie ten Boom at this event one time that she was speaking at, and I told her, wow, God is so good. Look at the way he's using you, and he's rescued you. And he said that she looked cross with him and said, God is always good. God was good in the concentration camps. God was good when my sister died. I mean, I have goosebumps. That, my friends, is wisdom. To be able to say, don't tell me God is good right now because of that. God is always good. Even when my family died, even when I was in a work camp, God was always good. That's wisdom. And I would just sit under there, and for one time in my life, if I could hang out with Corrie ten Boom, I wouldn't talk for a whole hour probably. I'd just be like, okay. You know what I'm saying? For one time in my life, that would be amazing. One of the biggest compliments I've ever received from my husband is not that I'm beautiful or that I look really pretty in that dress or no, those jeans don't make you look fat. The best thing I've ever heard my husband say to me is, you're so wise. You guys know my story now. Looking at it from the outside, would you, and you can be honest, you don't have to raise your hand or say yes or no out loud, but looking at somebody who has made the choices that I've made in my past, would you look at that person and say, she's so wise? And I don't say this to pump myself up and say, he thinks I'm wise. But what I'm saying is, and I told him this when I was studying, I said, you know, the most amazing thing you've ever said to me is that I'm wise. That sticks with me more than anything. Because I'm like, no, I'm not. But he sees Jesus through me. He doesn't see me. He sees the choices that Jesus has caused me to make, the sacrifices, whatever it is that Jesus has drawn us to, that's what he sees. And Jesus in me is more beautiful than I could ever be or aspire to be. And because of Jesus and the wisdom that he implants, that's the only reason that my husband could look me in the eyes today and say that. Without God walking us through that trial, none of that would have come. We could have given up and said, we have biblical grounds, we're done, it's totally fine, you can get remarried, I will probably never marry again because it's way too difficult, and move on. But God put wisdom in him and in me to stay. And that's not how it works for everybody. And I don't want everybody to think that I'm saying that. Every situation is different. But God is able to implant wisdom and healing along the way. Back to Corrie ten Boom, only someone who's been through the fire of a trial and seen God rescue them is able to speak with that much certainty. about God and his ways when she's saying God was always good, even when my sister died. All of those things. Because trials, write this down on your page. Start all the way on the left and write the word trials. Now draw an arrow to the right, just barely, and write the word wisdom. Through trials, you gain wisdom. Another arrow, you put beauty. And wisdom brings beauty. I want to be beautiful, but more than my desire to be beautiful, I want to be wise. And again, Proverbs 31:30 says that charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And back to Proverbs 2, if you're still there, after he says, incline your ears and apply your hearts and search for understanding and cry out, it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's the kind of beauty I want. Yes, I want to be pretty, but more than that, I want to be wise. I want to be the kind of woman that when people are around me, they don't feel intimidated or not good enough. I don't want to be impressive. Remember the quote I told you about? Her beauty is impressive, but not inviting. I want to be inviting. I want women to be invited in to be who they are, to open up about what they're going through in their lives. And if I'm working really hard to be really impressive, then really in my heart, I'm working hard to be better than them. So how would I open my heart to somebody that I'm trying to be better than? This is why I'm so open about my life. This is why I have no problem saying, hey, check out my history. Check out what God's done. Because I want to invite women in to say, we're all going through stuff. We all have junk. None of us is better than the other. We all have our stuff, but God can give us wisdom, and not just to keep to ourselves, but to pass on. You don't get healing and wisdom and then not share that with somebody. You know what I mean? Have you been able to share wisdom from your trial and give it to somebody else? Don't you turn around from that and go, whoa. Because when you were crying on the floor of the bathroom, feeling all alone, like nobody was with you, you felt like dying and you felt like that was it for you. And you were never going to be used again. And now you're standing and you see the way God's using you and you say, whoa. Because you see it's all God. And it makes that time of the trial seem shorter. I remember when my husband, for our 14th anniversary, I don't know if I've told this before, but I don't think I have. For our 14th anniversary, he gave me a card that said, you're everything I want and more than I deserve. This was after, okay, because my life is divided now into before and after. This was after. And he is not into cards. He said this through announcements the other day on I don't know what day it was. He was like, yeah, so you can get a card. I'm not a card guy. And I'm over there at the piano like, no, he is not a card guy. He's not into cards and stuff like that. But I woke up in the morning on my birthday, and that was, not my birthday, it was the anniversary, sorry. And that card says, you're more than I want, all that I want, and more than I deserve. And I broke into the ugly cry. Like, it wasn't like one tear. I was all, no, I'm not. I mean, I just was like, because I told him that in that moment, all of those moments of loneliness, all of those moments of tears and crying and desperation felt so much shorter. It all felt worth it. And to hear my husband say those things and to call me wise, that is God. If you allow people into your life to see the wisdom that God has implanted, not because of you, not because you're super smart, but because of him and what he's walked you through, if you will allow people in, they will be invited to be who they are, to see their own beauty. Each and every one of you is gorgeous. Do you know that? You don't all know that. I know you don't all know that because I don't know that all the time. But God tells me I'm beautiful, not because I have brown hair, not because of any of that. I want to be known because of Jesus. I want to be known because of what he's done in my life. I remember a time when I cut my hair because I was like, I don't want to be known for my hair. I don't want to be known as Shannon the worship leader. I don't want to be known as any of that. I want to be known as me, like God's daughter. And I cut my hair and I was like, I feel so ordinary now. So dumb. But seriously, that's what I want to be known for. I want my kids to see Jesus in me. I want my husband to see Jesus in me. I want my family to see Jesus in me. I want you all to see Jesus in me. I don't want you to see me. I don't want you to see my songs and my CDs and whatever else it is that people would define you as. Let them see Jesus, because that's what lasts. Let them see the beauty of wisdom. Wisdom that's only come through a life lived for Jesus. Invite people in. So wisdom is available. Wisdom takes work and time. And wisdom makes you beautiful. And that's what true beauty is. True beauty is being wise in the eyes of God. Having his wisdom. Fearing him. Walking in his ways even when you can't even stand. And allowing him to take those trials and turn them into wisdom for the next day. And you might be right now in the day where you're gaining wisdom and you don't see it, but God's racking it up. And he's getting you ready for something. You're always being prepared for the next battle because there's always another one coming, right? We can all attest to that, because as soon as you're like, whew, I'm glad that's over, you're like, okay, up again. I mean, every day, right? You got to get up and start all over again. But if you can just remember that, that when you're walking through it, God is giving you wisdom that you don't see. There are small little choices that he is causing you to make that you would never make on your own. And it's making you beautiful. So with Mother's Day coming up and all of that stuff, I know everybody is wanting to honor moms, and some of you aren't moms, and I understand that. But as a woman, you are God's daughter. He sees you as beautiful. And I don't want anybody to leave here today feeling like they're less than anything. You don't have to look like Kate Beckinsale. Praise Jesus. Praise God we don't have to look like her to get into heaven, right? What if he was like, you need to be this measurement and this measurement and this measurement? Praise God that we don't have to look any certain way. What does God's word say? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So we have to seek to make sure that our heart is right and that our heart is beautiful, and our hearts are not always beautiful, right? Because things fly out of my mouth or even in my head that I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was in there, especially when I'm driving. It's bad. It's bad. My poor children. But that's all I really have to say today. I just really want to make sure that you ladies know that you are beautiful. And I don't mean it in a worldly way. And I wanted to say the beauty patch video, right? And those are great. If you ever want to see more videos like that are just like tearjerkers and you can't get through without crying, watch those. Go to Dove, YouTube, Dove videos, because it's Dove, like the Dove brand. They do all these videos about, and it's all about self-esteem and feeling great about who you are, which is great, but it can also be worldly. Because those women were like, oh, the beauty that I have, it's something within me. Well, it's Jesus within you, really. Because the Bible says that nothing in me is good. Anything that's in me that's good is God. So don't get caught up in what the world wants us to get caught up in. And having self-esteem and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It's great to feel comfortable in your own skin. And the only reason I say that is because I don't want you ladies to hear me say you're beautiful and think that I'm just saying that. Like your dad tells you you're beautiful. Oh, dad, you have to say that, you know, whatever it is. But walking in God's ways, becoming wise is what makes you beautiful. So seek wisdom. Seek it like you would a lost diamond from a wedding ring. Go after it, asking the Lord, Lord, cleanse my heart. That's the scariest prayer in the whole wide world. Search my heart, God. If there's something in there that needs to go, get rid of it. Talk about a brave prayer. I hear those words in songs and I'm all, ooh, I better make sure that I am sure about this, because this is a big decision. Because as soon as you ask God to search your heart, what does he do? He searches your heart and he gets rid of things that you weren't ready to let go of yet. But he makes you so much more beautiful and you gain that wisdom. So be that woman that chooses to walk in God's wisdom. Be that woman that is inviting. Don't strive to be that woman that's intimidating and impressive, because God knows, and we all know, you all know that I don't have it all together, because I just told y'all that I really don't have it all together. We don't. We're all messed up. We all need each other. But more than that, we all need God. We all need his wisdom. So let's pray. God, we come before you, Lord, and I'm so thankful for not just who you are, God, but for where you bring us. I thank you, Lord, for the places you've brought us from and the places you're taking us to. And I thank you that along the way, Lord, you're implanting wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom, Lord. I pray that we would strive to be women who are wise in your eyes, God. That we would strive to be women who have beauty because we have your wisdom. I pray, God, that you would get rid of the enemy and the lies he tells us that we will never be good enough, that we'll never be pretty enough, that we'll never be thin enough, that we'll never be talented enough, Lord. I pray that you would get rid of those lies that the enemy hammers us with day in and day out. God, would you get rid of the lies that says, well, she thinks she's better than me, or she thinks this about me or that about me. Lord, would you get rid of that? Would you make us women who are not concerned with some sort of homecoming queen type of competition? Lord, would you make us women who are concerned with the way that you see us? And your word says that you see us as beautiful, you see us as your children and your daughters, and you love us perfectly and intimately and more than anybody ever could. God, would you make us women who are honest about our lives and invite other people in, because we need each other so much. And so, Lord, I pray that you would band us together as women who are strong, that this room would be filled with budding relationships where honesty is paramount, where we can be real and we can be honest and open about where we're at, because from that comes healing and wisdom. God, would you make us women who are after you, who don't even notice the wisdom that you're implanting in us, Lord. Make us confident in who you have created us to be. Lord, help us to not bank on the way we look or how many wrinkles we don't have. Help us, Lord, to bank on the way that you see us and the love that you have for us, because that makes us confident, Lord. I thank you for this time that we're able to just talk about you and how amazing you are and brag on you and the things that you do in our lives. And I pray that from this would be birthed more and more bragging on you. I pray, Lord, that in the small groups today that you would just be like, oh, stop, no more, because it's just so much bragging on you. I just pray, God, that you would help us to truly be women who see the good and don't harp on the bad. And I thank you for these ladies. Would you just send them out and go before them today, Lord, and help them to remember these words, Lord, and that you're always with them. And we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.